thing about our praise and worship is it brings the throne of God into this house. It's preaching that establishes it, but it is praise and worship that brings His kingdom, His throne, His rule, His authority into this house. And after this kind of praise and worship and what's been going on around here, it doesn't matter what you came struggling with. Depression, oppression, giving up, sin. Amen. There's a king in this house. And He's got a scepter and He's still in charge. Come on, He can suspend disease. He can suspend sickness. And He can set somebody free. If you believe that, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Give honor to Brother Sutton, Brother Will Banks, the steering committee, sponsors, to Elder Wilson, Elder Booker. Amen. We give honor to these men of God and what they did today. Everybody ought to buy the tapes. Just do tell everybody else to call whoever gets the tapes and tell them to buy them. And Brother Marks last night was, amen, he was just off the chain. Amen. You got to go get that tape. That's old school preaching. And so we appreciate him. Everything's so nice. I've been to a lot of conferences, but I hadn't seen any decorated any better than this. Somebody ought to just clap your hands for everybody making us look good. Hallelujah. I regret I'll have to leave out in the morning early. I wish I could have stayed. I already had another meeting scheduled for Friday night, but it's been great being here. And if the Lord tarries, I hope I get to come back. Amen. I'm just inviting myself. Amen. And I like being in Alabama. If you got your Bibles, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Amen. All of our evangelists that are in the house, wave your hand at me. Let me see where you're at. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4 on the platform. Any of them out here? 5, 6. Anybody else? 7 in the back in the cheap seats. Evangelists don't belong in the back. I'm picking on him. Hallelujah. 6 evangelists. Would you give all our evangelists a great big hand? Amen. Appreciate all the evangelists. John chapter 12 and verse 23, and then we'll jump over to John 13 and verse 1. John 12 and 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things unto His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto Him, "Lord, dost Thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter." Peter saith unto Him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter said unto Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jumping over to verse 31. Therefore when Judas was gone out, Jesus said, "Now," everybody say, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him." My title will be from verse 2, "And Supper Being Ended." I want to preach for just the next few moments on "Supper Is Over." Look at three people around you and tell them supper is over. Amen. Come on, tell somebody around you supper is over. Can I have some highs? Little highs. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. And you may be seated. This is a transition text. There is a shift about to take place. There has been thousands of years of, if you will, business as usual. It has been the law, the schoolmaster, preparing for this moment. As we heard so eloquently preached this morning by Brother Wilson, it was a chaotic time. Anytime you are individually or the church corporately comes to transition, it will be chaotic. It's never just smooth from one level to the next. There's always rumbling, chaos, there's change. Something is about to pass away, and something new is about to come to the forefront. Jesus let them know when this transition moment came, He did not come to do away with the law, but He came to fulfill it or to fill it up. Let me just throw in what I am not saying tonight, amen, is that the church is about to change from its doctrine and from its power and from its principles. Thank you, all five of you, so I'm going to have to hit that point again. I'm not talking about becoming something different. I'm talking about moving into what we've ultimately, God has determined we would be. Amen. To move into transition, you must accept that what has gone on before has been preliminary and preparatory. It's been important. It's been powerful. It's been glorious. There's been powerful miracles. And as Brother Marks preached last night, where are the miracles? We can't, in this end time generation, just keep reaching back to old stories just for old stories' sake and nostalgia. When I look into the Word of God, I don't see that kind of a church. I don't see a church that's just nostalgic for nostalgic's purpose. But I see a church, amen, that's moving into power and glory and into revival. What is transition? It is a passage from one state or stage to another. It is a movement. I'm glad we're in a movement. I don't think the Lord ever called the church to be a monument, but He called us to be a movement. I said, we're not called to be a monument, but He called us to be a movement. The church has got to be moving. Prayer room's got to be moving. Baptistry water's got to be moving. Church growth has got to be moving. Revival's got to be moving. Personal holiness has got to be moving up. And better, I've got to be growing up. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you cannot stay where you are. If you're going to be in the church, you've got to be ready to move. The schoolmaster taught us, hey amen, when you see the cloud by day or pillar of fire by night moving, I don't care if you just got the tabernacle set up, tear it down and start moving. 42 times in that 40 years of wandering, 42 times God moved them. So the schoolmaster teaches us that the church, the ultimate vision and dream of God, was never to be stationary, stagnant, and stale. We were never individually or corporately to stay the same way that we are. There has to be progress. There has to be movement. But when you come to these critical moments where God is not just moving an individual, but He's moving a corporate body. How many of you know we're a big part of something bigger than just our little clique? Come on, every now and then you got to back up from your little party you got going is. You need to look back for the sake of knowing you didn't just start this, but somebody did something to get you in this. Amen. Every now and then, amen, you've got to back up long enough to understand there was an elder. I'm going to preach now. Young preacher, you got to recognize, amen, you can't get a pulpit just because you have a card. And you can't get a pulpit and then forget about the elders that brought you to the place. You have to remember there was an elder that had to birth you. There was a church that had to bring you into existence. There was a mantle moment where you had to take what was being offered to you. No generation can come on the scene for itself, of itself, and by itself. In every generation, in fact, amen, whenever Aaron got anointed with oil, and the Lord told Moses, he said, you tell Aaron, amen, to get garments. And I could preach about that for a while. The Bible says that the congregation fashioned garments. Congregation approved. They fashioned a garment and put it on Aaron, and then they took that 52 and a half pounds of ingredients and put some of it into a horn of oil, calamus, cassia, and cinnamon, a hint of myrrh, and a hint of oil, and they crushed it together. Amen. So when there's an anointing doesn't come just because it smells good. But it took a crushing to produce that anointing. Can I say to somebody that's going through crushing times and crushing situations that it's the crushing place, it's the Gethsemane, it's the wine press, it's the place where I'm crushed and what's me is pushed out of the way and what's God comes to the forefront. Amen. There's no quick way to the anointing. There's no quick way, amen, to the revival. Somewhere I got to go through a little pain. Somewhere I got to go through a little something. Amen. They laid that garment. Where'd my suit coat go? Someone bring me my jacket or a jacket. It doesn't matter. Well, they put that anointing, that mantle, or that garment on Aaron. They would lay it on him. They would cover him. Why? Because the anointing, the law was, the anointing should never be on the flesh. It should never be on anything that's uncovered. Uncovered, naked, amen. You don't put perfume on your body. Now, that's what the perfumers tell the ladies. You put a little perfume behind your ear, put a little on your wrist, amen, so you smell it. But that's really a trick because whenever you get the sweating, my wife says women don't sweat, you glisten. So when you get the glistening, amen, and the oil of your flesh begins to mix with that perfume, it causes it to dissipate and it disappears quickly. What's the point? If you are trying to be used of God, but you have no coat on you, then the Bible says the anointing flows down the head, down the beard. It's supposed to go into a garment. But if you don't have a garment on, it's on your flesh. That's why we only smell your anointing for a moment. I'm talking about transition. This is what the Holy Ghost is dealing with me about today. Amen. The rapture's about to take place. But I've come to say there's an 11th hour ministry that's about to step to the forefront. But you can't come in here naked. You can't come in here with just your little briefcase and your little Bible and your little two sermons and your little 3-minute testimony and try to do this. You've got to take enough time for an elder to lay a mantle of a coat on you. So the visual image is when that anointing falls, it runs down the head. And it's supposed to run into the garment. Now, when we do anointing, we do a little dabble, do you? You know, hey man, just come down here, put a little dabble on you. Ti-ti-ta-ta. Ebo-hi-ta-ta. Just a little dab. But when they did it in the Old Testament, it was poured on. See, now some of y'all don't want that because you don't want to get messed up. You're more worried about what you look like when you leave, just like you look like when you came. We got too much pretty praise and too much pretty prayer. And we got too many pretty sermons. We got people coming like you are and leaving like you are. What we need is something to happen tonight where the anointing is. about you, but I want the anointing of God. Because I want that anointing on you, that garment. He said, before I institute an Aaronic priesthood, the first thing I want to establish is it better be covered. Can I say to my generation of preachers, amen, where's your garment? Because then he said, let me have your sons. Come here, Brother Cheryl. Some of these young preachers out of Brother Sutton's church, come here. I know you're scared to death. I'm going to pour water on you. I'm not going to mess up your groove. I know you don't. I didn't see. Most time you call for preachers, they come running. I got two. They kind of nervously moved up. The rest are kind of going, I ain't going up there. God's got a crazy thing on him tonight, man. I'm not going to mess you up. I know. But he said, if you got sons coming up, then here's what's going to happen. Because we have to be concerned about the perpetuation of this gospel truth. We don't have to worry about the perpetuation of a gospel truth, ladies and gentlemen, if you will release our fathers, our pastors, to produce sons. See, the question is not, are you anointed? The question is not, can you preach? The question is not, can you get a sermon and do a good job one night? The question is, when it comes time for transition and it comes time for shift, can your father, Brother Wilbanks, come here. Take your jacket off. Put it on him. Because here's what he said. He said, Aaron, I don't just want you anointed. I want the next generations anointed. How am I going to do it? He didn't say put a new garment on him. And he didn't say take another preacher's garment and put on him. Come on, he didn't say give some other preacher's sermon and some other preacher's anointing. Young preachers, can I challenge you to say the only real anointing you're ever going to get is not from me, and it's not from Brother Marks. It's not even from Brother Booker or Brother Wilson. It's from your Father in the gospel. That's where you're anointed. If Brother Sutton is your pastor, that's where you're getting your anointing. Question is can you be a son? Jill, your pastor, see, there's a temptation to try to get somebody else's mantle. That's what Paul said the problem with the church of Corinth was. He said, you may have 10,000 teachers. You may have a myriad of teachers. The word teachers is podagogus. It was a boy leader. Somebody that took the children to school just to make sure they got their lessons done. But Vine's Expository says they have zero parental feeling. And how could they? They're not your daddy. As much as I like you, I'll never love you like he will. Never. I cannot have parental feeling for you. I've seen you guys grow up. I can't have parental feeling. As much as I'm proud, as much as I'm blown away with the progress you've made in the 2 years I've been gone, I can't have parental feeling. To me and you, in the spiritual relationship, I am but a podagogus. I'm just a boy leader. But if you want the anointing that'll bring your generation to the next revival, you have to resist what one commentary called your favorite preacher. You know what? Can I just say this? You know why we got problems brewing? And it's not a lot, but we got a lot of noisy problems. You know why? We got a bunch of sons who ain't paying attention to their daddy. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get in my text. We got a bunch of preachers that got cards or you don't got one. It don't matter. You don't get any more anointing because you got one or you don't have one. You ain't got to say, man. I'm going to say it again. You don't get no more anointing because you got a card and I've got mine right here. But the devil don't respect that. And the devil don't respect it if you ain't got one. Thank you. You can not say amen, but I'll stay right there till we have a fight or something. Your anointing doesn't come in a card or the lack of a card. Your anointing comes. Do you know who your daddy is? And can you wear his garment? That's what it is. Well, but I like so-and-so preaching. He ain't your daddy. Well, I like the way he sees things. He ain't your daddy. Touch three people around you and say, do you know who your daddy is? Am I doing all right? He said, because there's a next generation. See, I still only got three of you. It's fine. It's cool. The question is, when it comes time for you to get your anointing, you ready? Because this ain't his sons. So you got to ask yourself. He said, here's what I want you to do, Aaron. I want you to take your garment, the one you were anointed in, the one you had on when he anointed you. Thank you. He knows where I'm going. The one he had on when the oil ran down his head. Come on. You know what the problem is? We want new mantles, but new mantles have zero anointing. But if you get an old mantle, it's already been anointed. New mantles have no anointing, but old mantles are saturated. He said, you want to anoint the next generation? Put your garment on him. Now, it's an old garment. It's not as fancy. You wouldn't look good in TV on it. It's tattered. A bunch of people that used to like him hate him. If you check it in the back, there's a lot of stab wounds. There's blood all over it. People drinking haterade because he's just winning souls. See, all the armor protects your front. None of it protects your back. Because we're supposed to be able to go into battle and have each other's back. You fight them from that way, I fight them from this way. But it's a bad day when your brother's supposed to have your back, turns on you and stabs you in the back. See, I don't know if you want his mantle because it's not real pretty. It won't appear on a GQ magazine. There's people that hated him. There's saliva on it. People been gnawing on it with their teeth. They've been cutting and tearing at it. Listen to me, young preacher. You will always be hated because of your daddy's garment. Joseph was hated, Brother Booker, because he had a garment his daddy made him. You can run around with little flippant little preachers that'll talk you out of that. It's not real fancy. It's not real high end. It may not be tailor-made. It may not be exclusive yours. My ministry. My anointing. He said, Aaron, I don't just want you anointed. I'm looking at the next generation. I'm looking at transition. And if we're going to have transition, we got to have young preachers, young people of God, a new generation of saints that will be submitted long enough till their daddy can lay their jacket on them. And in this jacket is superimposed your spiritual grandfather. Who is your daddy? Who's your pastor, your father in the gospel? Now, Brother Cagle, let me have your coat, Brother Booker. I'm sorry, Elder. I'm way off my notes, but I'm... And then you got somebody we've never, neither one ever seen. What's his name? Brother Cagle. Did he ever preach conference? General conference? Big meetings? Camp meetings? He's just a little old country preacher. Couldn't preach good at all, but you know what? In the mantle that's on your back and the mantle that's being laid on you. Now, it's really one mantle. But I think you're getting... Now, you got one, two, three generations. Do you know who Elder Cagle's pastor was? Well, give me a jacket. It's good to see you, brother. I'm going to see your brother-in-law tomorrow. What you want me to tell him? I'll tell him something. So now you got one, four generations deep. Now, the thing about it is, I'm not going to pour water on him. I poured water on mine. But the point of it is if you can get this old mantle, it's got an anointing that's four, five. And I believe if we can get in line enough and we can get submitted enough, amen, we can tap into an anointing that started falling on the day of Pentecost. I'm almost finished. I want to ask young people. I want to ask another generation. Are you ready to get an old mantle? Because if you want a new one, you got to go find somebody else. But in this conference, there's some old mantle. And you know what he said? He said, you got to wear it 7 days. Seven's fullness, Shiva. Put your coat on him, Bishop. Well, when's my turn? Don't worry about it. Just stay in the coat. When do I get to preach? Shh, don't say that. I was in a meeting a while back. We was trying to figure out, because young preachers are, for some reason, they just stuff I never thought of. I mean, I'm up here right now. Thoughts running through my mind. I can't believe I'm up here preaching. I'm still shocked I'm a preacher. Now we got a generation coming on that, when do I get a turn? How come I'm not used? Now, I know that's easy for me to say from this point. But my friends know me. They know where I come from. My dad's a little quiet man. I want to ask you before you get used, have you wore your daddy's coat? And have you wore it until fullness comes? Because you will never have but one daddy. Unless your father in the gospel apostates or apostatizes and leaves the truth, then you have to find a man who will become your father. And if you find him and he's willing to do what it takes to become a father, then you're going to have to go through the process again. You're going to have to prove loyalty. Because you know what Paul said, I'm going to do to fix this problem in Corinth? He said, I'm going to send one of my faithful sons, Timotheus. That word literally means he was faithful in transacting the family business. He carried out the duties. What's got me just a little nervous about some is they can't carry out the duties of the family business. They're only interested in starting their own little show. You all right with that? Amen. He said, don't bother me none. I just wanted to make sure. See, his mail's not pretty. It won't put you on the cutting edge. It won't take you out of the box. It won't take you there. It'll take you back to what Brother Marks was talking about. Because these mantles these men got were born and laid on men in old prayer meetings. Brother Booker was talking about the prayer warrior. Let me tell you another story about this prayer warrior. He's talking about, we was at Brother Ewing's for a store meeting with Brother Morgan. And we were in there, and this good lady walked in. And when she walked in, Sister Ewing was there. And Sister Ewing, many of you don't know, she's pretty much blind. Now, she can see a little bit. She couldn't see you. There's not enough light. But up here, she could see the outlines of people. She could tell who you are by your voice if she had met you before. But they walked in. They were in the very, just a few steps past the door, and I heard her tell this lady. Said, baby, she called her baby. She said, baby, let me take you and show you my house. She said, oh, Sister Ewing, you don't have to show me your house. I've been here before. Well, Sister Ewing got this look on her face like, I know this lady's never been in my house. She said, no, baby, you may have been in the old house, but you've never been. She said, oh, yeah, Sister Ewing. She said, I've been here before. She said, you have? She said, yeah, never move, Mother Booker. She said, if we'll just go right here around this corner. She said, that's your kitchen, but if we'll go down that hall, to the left is your bedroom, to the right is the bishop's office. She said, well, Mother, how do you know that? She said, oh, Sister Ewing. She said, I've spent many nights in your house. She said, what do you mean you spent nights in my house? She said, I've been many nights in deep prayer for you and the elder. And the Holy Ghost has brought me into your house. And I have prayed spirits away from this house. I'm talking about old anointings. Now, we're a new generation. I'm 46. How old are you, Brother Cody? 20? 28 years old. I'm 46. He's 28. I can't believe that. But now here it is. I'm moving into another era. But what I'm saying to young preachers now is if you want a pulpit, first of all, I ain't got time to go down there. I'll just stay right where I'm at if you want it. My question is, are you going to come naked or are you going to come covered? Because the real anointing does not flow through talent and ability and wisdom. Somebody said to me recently, well, but he's real smart. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, you're ever learning, never ever come to the knowledge of the truth. And I said, the second and most important problem is he confesses he has no elder. He has nobody in his life that can say no. And you do what he says. I'm way off my notes here. I want to ask this church, and this end time Alabama Revival Conference, what kind of anointing do you want? Because that guy Calamus and Casey and cinnamon ground together has its own unique blend. Listen to Brother Godwin. When it came to incense or anointing, the other nations made their anointing or their incense with one spice. But when it came to the incense that the Jews offered to God, it was made with three. When it came to the anointing, it was made with three. I could preach about three for a while. Why? Because God, whenever He anoints us, it's not going to have any one person's anointing in it. It's going to be a whole bunch of us crushed together. So not one of us get the glory. We got a problem, ladies and gentlemen, when we're all individually wanting the glory and the credit. I'm back on my text. We're at a transition moment. There's about to be a shift that Jesus and the disciples don't understand it, but there's about to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There's about to be a Calvary. There's about to be bloodshed. And what we need to understand is what we do now facilitate what comes next. But at transition time, and I'm done, there's always a Judas. There's always, and the sad thing is Jesus picked him. So if you study it out, every generation is supposed to wear the anointing mantle from the previous generation, and then it's supposed to be handed down. I'm jealous of you with a godly jealousy. I love this man, but I can't have his mantle. But you can. You can. You can. You can. You can. You can. But Isaacson, you can. You can have it. I can be impacted by him, and I am. It's wet. The second law was you never put anointing on the flesh because it dissipates. Third or second law is you never fashion anything like unto it. Last point. And you'll hear him say, well, it's almost like us. Boy, I'm telling you, boy, I was there and man, it felt just like us. Listen, Brother Godwin. But it wasn't us. Boy, it was like the real. But it wasn't real. Have you ever noticed those college students run around with them boxes cut half off and little bottles of cologne and perfume in it? Now I tell you, Brother Sutton, here's a bottle of Obsession or Eternity or Versace or whatever it is. And how much you want for it? It's a 12-ounce bottle. Not really, it's 8 ounces. How much you want for it? Oh, give me $5. $5. God, I paid $52.50 in the airport for a bottle of Versace. Now let me smell that. Hi, God, that's just like the real. I'm telling you, he said, I got it on discount. It's yours. Give me $5. $5. You go 25 feet. Man, hey, Bo, look at this. I bought some Versace. I want you to smell this. He smells it and he goes, I don't smell nothing. You walk 25 feet and you don't smell nothing. You know why? Because it was 98% alcohol and 2% cologne. And just in about 20 or 30 feet or an hour's worth of time, amen, a little bit of perspiration, we can't smell that fake anointing anymore. The reason you got to have the real anointing is because it's concentrated. Just a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of calamus and a little bit of cassia, but I want a hint of oil and I want a hint of myrrh. Amen, this is saturated. Can you give a testimony and we smell it tomorrow morning? Do you only feel the anointing when you got the mic? Reason they poured it down that priest because when he walked through that 2.5 million people, they not only could hear him coming, they could smell him. Here comes the priest. How do you know? The wind's blowing. I can smell him. He's coming. I don't know how far away, but I can smell him. Stand. It's not my job to finish this tonight. Stand. Oh, Brother Marks, what a preacher. And he didn't get that on his own. He's got a daddy. A father in the gospel that will cover you. It's got an old anointing oil in it. It's got a Curtis Young anointing in it. Quiet storm. At the hour of glory, Jesus said, here's what you got to do. First thing you got to do, say supper's over. Which simply means it's time for this church to move away from self-gratification. Jesus is sitting here with a booker. And he just knew that his hour was come. How many of you know this is our hour? See, the transition. The transition was, the hour was come. Then the next verse was, and Jesus knew that his hour was come. You're not the same young man I knew 2 years ago. Your hour's come. You're not the same young man you were. Your hour's come. You have to put away childish things now. Just marry into this because of your submitted spirit. Your daddy has got a spiritual garment on you. It's not as fancy as it could be because he spends all of his money trying to have revival. Something different about you, Jerry. Don't have anything to do with natural bloodline. The real test was, could you come back to Daddy? And could you wear Daddy's garment? And could you stay in your place? I came in here looking to see where you were last night. Last night, you could be up here. He's down on the front row. Not wanting any glory. Minding his P's and Q's. Staying in his place. I'm really kind of overwhelmed with the transition that's going on in Alabama. With the lifting that's happening. Brother Golden. Brother Shane Golden. One of the other greatest evangelists we got on the road. This is a soul winning evangelist. Just left the church, was there how many months? 2 months? 2 months. Come here, Bubba. Got to beg him to come up front. I wish all the young preachers were that way. Left 150 Bible studies going in at one church. Didn't just preach sermons. Got 150 Bible studies going. You know why he's so anointed? It's not because he's got a truck and a trailer. You know why he's anointed? Because he's connected to his daddy. He's connected to his grandpa. And he's got their mantle on. Can I just tell you something? There's some people, you are light because of your daddy and your grandpa. But your anointing doesn't come from everybody else. Your anointing comes from one place. It comes from your father and your grandfather as they are submitted to God, because the anointing always flows down. You're never going to be light if you got your daddy's garment on. You go out on your own. Won't you do your own thing? Not until he says. Not until they approve. If they don't approve, you'd be a wall-eyed fool to to do anything. Take any church. Go anywhere. Preach in a church you don't know nothing about till you run it by Paw and Daddy. And if they say, I don't feel good about it, you don't need to say, well, why? Don't make no difference. They're Paw and Daddy. They say, no. Is that all right? Now see, what we don't want is we want some that don't want that responsibility, but we got most that don't want anybody telling them what to do. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. The only thing that has impact in the spirit world is old mantles. Samuel was a dead man. Saul covered himself in somebody else's garment. He slipped into a witch's house and told her, said, I want you to summon up somebody. Who do you want? I want you to summon up Samuel the prophet. He said, I promise I won't tell nobody you did it. He was in somebody else's garment. She didn't know who he was. But isn't that something, Brother Booker? When she does her little seance and her enchantings, and up from the dead comes Samuel. You know how she knew it was him? She recognized him by his garment. That same little garment that his mother had started making him. That same specific pattern that never changed. It just got bigger with age. But it was the same mantle, same pattern, same coat. Hell recognizes old mantles. Hell does not recognize new ones. Only old. Jesus said, first thing you got to do is say, supper's over. Second thing you got to do is you got to get up from the table. Third thing you got to do is lay aside your personal garments. And then what you have to do is pick up a towel and say, I'm ready to serve. And when he does it, all of a sudden Judas starts doing what he's going to do. And he walks out the door, and with one click of a door, Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Peter, if you want this, you got to be willing to take a towel. You got to be willing to take a mantle. You got to be willing to serve. We're at the hour of glory in Alabama. We're at the hour of glory. Revival, unprecedented. Revival is going to make your friends hate you. That's what the bishop was preaching about this morning. Can you imagine being hated because you had the Christ child? Can you imagine being hated because you prayed 200 people through? Can you imagine you being hated because you baptized 150 in 6 months? Can you imagine? You hate it. We got revival breaking out everywhere. A friend of ours up in Gary, Indiana, just had the city of Gary give him 100,000 square foot school. Give it to him. No strings attached. You want it? You're going to do something with it? You want to put people in here? You want to have drug classes? You want to have single parenting classes? You want to teach Bible classes here? We'll just give you the building. You say, what is it? It's the hour of glory. But 3 years ago, Bishop, when it came time to make that move up there, he was Brother Foster's youth pastor. And whenever he got the call about the supposed move, he went and asked his pastor about it. And he said, am I really your daddy? He said, yeah. He said, all right, you're not going to take it if this and this and this doesn't happen. And he listened to his father in the gospel. And in just 4 years, they went from around 160 to bumping up over 300 with church with problems to now getting a building of over 100,000 square feet. What am I saying? I've preached too long. I've come to tell you it's the hour of glory. We don't need faster music. We don't need any more. And I got no problem with it. You don't have to have colored lights. Gentlemen, you ain't got to have the fancy sermon book. All you got to find out is who's your daddy. And you got to say, this is the hour of glory. I refuse to be a Judas. You know what I'm going to be? I'm going to find my daddy. I'm going to get under his mantle. I'm going to get under that old mantle. I'm going to get under that old anointing. We're going to fake it and act like this is Bishop's coat. Grab his coat. Because not only, everybody standing, not only, Brother Golden, is there old anointing from way back in Michigan. And other times at No Limits when this pastor fell down at his pastor's feet. But there comes a moment when that old mantle with the old anointing, you can still smell that old anointing in it. There comes a moment when there's going to come a fresh anointing. And it's going to mix with the old. And you know what? If it's covered, it's going to get all in the garment. You know why it's important? Because the garment will hold on to it. We don't need a momentary anointing. What we need is a new generation with an old mantle that'll stay submitted long enough till a new anointing begins to flow and it gets into the old. You want a double portion? You don't get a double portion on your own. You only get a double portion if you can wear your Father's garment. Brother Zach, I'm come here. All of Brother Wilbank's sons, any of you pastors, come up here real quick. Come up here real quick. I don't know what we got planned, but come up here real quick. You need to get around your daddy. Come on, Brother Wilbanks. Get around Brother Sutton. Brother Davis, you got any of your sons here? Any of you pastors? Come here, come here. Come here, Zach. Zach's daddy. Come here. Come here. What about you? Is your pastor here? Is this your pastor? This isn't just for preachers. That's it. Come on, Bubba. I like you. Listen. These are good-looking young men, Brother Davis. How many did you tell me you had? 16 preachers he's training up. Gentlemen, take your coat off. You look good. I love your colors, Bubba. Love your tie. Y'all look good. You got preacher's clothes on. Y'all look sharp. But the real question is can daddy lay that garment on you? And can you stay in your place until it's your time? Just take it, just lay it on them each one at a time. It's an old mantle. It's got old anointing in it. I want you to reach out and grab a hold of somebody right now. Lift their hands up. Come on, if your pastor's up on this platform where you got pastors, come on. Come on, I'm talking about old anointing. We don't need a brand new generation. We need a new generation with an old anointing, with old mantles. Come on. Come on, come on. Brother Marks is coming to preach in a few minutes. And we're going to go up to a whole nother level. Just play. Come on, let it be said in Alabama that the young preachers and the saints of God were all doing their own thing. But they were staying close to their pastor. Thank you.
out of his hands and praise him. Come on, anointing flows down from the head. Come on, lift your hands up. Lift your hands up.
Because the anointing doubled. But what happened to the next generation? Thank God for a Moses to an Aaron and a Moses to a Joshua. But what happened to the next generation? I want to find out tonight in Alabama how many generations back can we go connected to the old anointing mantles. Lift your hands in this building. My grandpa was W.T. Witherspoon. My father's R.D. Whalen. Not going to let anybody talk me away from my daddy's mantles. Come on, lift your hands up in the building. Lift your hands up in the building. Lay your head back now, God. Let us tap in before this night's over to a deep saturation. Anointing.
Spirits chanting out in unison, Bill Dross, the Pentecost. How many of you know Wynn Dross, apostle to Central America and Mexico? Well, Bill Dross is in the house tonight. And when dross is in the house.
That's right. Amen.
Because Stephen dross is wearing mantles. And he's in the house tonight. Kid cut his teeth on preacher food all up and down Central America. And when he was just a teenager, the competition that he had with his brothers was not basketball and soccer, but they would come home on Sunday night and argue over who had the biggest church because they were pastoring as teenagers. I want Stephen Dross to come and greet this conference tonight. We're so glad. We love our missionaries. We are so glad to have him in the house.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord, and I have enjoyed everything. Amen. My, my, what a precious anointing in the house here today. Amen. And I flew all the way from Texas, and I've been deputizing, and I'm glad I'm here. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm here. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're having revival in Mexico. Mexico is just, we're just busting at the seams with revival. You probably have heard Mexico is in the news a lot lately. Amen. I was at a church preaching in Illinois, and when I went up to greet the pastor, and they said, we're so happy to have Brother Dross, missionary to Mexico, and I shook his hand, and as soon as I turned to face the congregation, the whole church, about 200 of them, decided to pull a prank on a poor missionary, and when I turned to look at them, they all had these masks on. Amen. We're afraid of the swine flu. Amen. Praise God. But we're having such revival. Mexico, of course, is in the news a lot because of the violence. And we've seen all kinds of things breaking out. And we've been threatened many times of the Mexican mob. But there's power in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. People ask me all the time, Brother Dross, aren't you afraid for your family? And naturally, any good father would be. Any good parent would be. And but either we believe the Bible or we don't believe the Bible. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and he does protect. Praise God. And I remember in El Salvador, amen, people from the embassy came during the civil war that was going on there, came to my dad and said, missionary Drost, and he would name off somebody that, you know, they're missionaries of, and he would name a particular denomination. He said, they've gone. They've left El Salvador. And he said, do you know so-and-so? And he would mention his name, and they're missionaries from another denomination. He said, yeah, I know them. He said, well, missionary Dross, they're gone too. You're the only missionaries left in El Salvador. And we're coming to pack your things up, and we're going to get out and get you out of El Salvador. My dad just looked at him and said, well, sir, just go right on back because we're not leaving. Amen. If God called us here, then God's going to keep us here. And
all right.
We're going to have revival. And I remember him saying and looking at that man, he said, I cannot in good conscience stand behind a pulpit and preach to those people that God can deliver them and God can change them and God can do miracles in their life if their missionary starts running away and leaves town. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that guy said, well, you're a crazy man. But during those years of war when we're the only missionaries there, we had the greatest revival that has ever had in that country. Let me tell you something. Mexico is no different. Right now we're facing all kinds of problems and all kinds of stuff going on. Hallelujah. But I believe the same God that gave us revival in El Salvador is going to give us revival in Mexico. Hallelujah. It's guaranteed. Yeah. There is power in Jesus' name. Praise God. Just about 8 months ago, we had this situation. There was this man who was a priest, and he was the national youth director for the Catholic Church, the national youth director for all of Mexico, of the Catholic Church. And he was over a certain parochial area, and one of our preachers, he kept winning all these young people to church. And so the man, he thought, well, I'm going to make that Pentecostal preacher fall. And so he sent him some young ladies to seduce him. Well, they ended up getting baptized, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Started wearing long dresses, letting their hair grow. Took off their makeup. So the priest said, well, maybe he don't like young ladies. Maybe he likes young men. And he sent some young men to him. I know this is crazy, but that's what happened. Amen. And after a while, the young men got baptized in Jesus' name, got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, well, I'm going to go find out what that preacher's preaching. And he went in, the national youth director, amen, of the whole country of Mexico. And that Pentecostal preacher was just preaching, hallelujah. And it hit him between the two eyeballs, amen. He said, I need to be baptized and I need to get the Holy Ghost too. Praise God. You know what he's doing right now? He's preaching there's only one God and his name is Jesus. I'm here to tell you, it's going to hit us right now. We're going to have revival like we've never seen it before. Y para todos aquellos que les gusta hablar el español. Hallelujah. I just can't feel the anointing unless I'm preaching in Spanish. Hallelujah. Yo siento que el Señor me entiende mejor cuando predico en español. Hallelujah. Hay poder en el nombre de Jesús. Hay liberación en el nombre de Jesús. Hay sanidad en el nombre de Jesús. Hay milagros en el nombre de Jesús. Porque hay un solo Dios y un solo mediador entre Dios y los hombres, Jesucristo, hombre. Praise him.